I am starting a new series of sermons today centered around the cross. And the scripture I'm going to start with today is Galatians 6:14, one verse in Galatians 6th chapter. We hear the Apostle Paul saying there, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and me to the world." There are a couple of reasons why I am preaching this series of sermons on the cross. One, the cross stands at the very heart of our Christian faith. And we must always remind ourselves that apart from the cross of Christ, there would be no salvation. There would be no forgiveness of sin. There would be no new life that we could enjoy. Secondly, I'm preaching on this subject because there seems to be an effort in our day to de-emphasize the meaning and the importance of the cross in the Christian faith. As I pointed out before, some churches have even removed the cross from their buildings, and they don't want to offend anyone, so they've just taken them out. And many churches are now crossless. As I pointed out before, these people who take the cross out or de-emphasize the cross don't realize exactly all that they have done. The people that we might offend by keeping the cross here and by talking about the cross would be mostly atheists and Muslims who become offended at not just the symbol of the cross, but what actually happened at the cross, what happened on the cross. Apparently, the people who take the cross out don't mind offending the Lord by stripping away one of the most important symbols of our Christian faith. Jude tells us in his letter that we must earnestly contend for the faith. Now, that doesn't mean that we are contentious, or that we become contentious about our faith, that we argue and we fight with other people. But it does mean that we stand up as Christians to the Christian tradition of beliefs that have been handed down to us, that were once and for all delivered to the saints. Those are the things. Those are the beliefs. Those are the part of our faith that we must hold on to tenaciously and not let go of. Because if we let those things go, we don't have much that we can offer to the world, do we? If we don't hold on to those with determination and share them with others without compromising, we will not be holding fast to our faith, and it will evaporate like water. Also, there's an old hymn, the words of which embody the underlying meaning of the series that I'm preaching. The hymn is called, "I Must Needs Go Home." I don't know if you've heard that hymn or sung it before. Well, we'll be singing that hymn later on. Years ago, in a community in which I was serving a church, we had every Lenten season a series of sermons, a series of services during Lent. And we would change around to different churches and have all the different preachers preach on the different themes. We would together decide upon a theme and then divide that up to the various preachers that would be preaching. One year it was my turn to pick the theme, so I picked the Way of the Cross. I don't remember all the different preaching themes that we used, but it turned out to be a well-received hymn. People enjoyed the theme very much in the preaching. I believe we sang it sometime during each service during that series. And by the time we finished all up, the people understood a lot more about the cross, and they knew that hymn pretty well in their memories. The first stanza of that hymn goes like this: "I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss." And the chorus goes on to say, The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know, as I onward go, that the way of the cross leads home. There are several important statements made in that song. And the first statement is, we must needs go home by the way of the cross. I'm sure that the writer was talking about our heavenly home. And it was saying that the cross leads us there like a signpost along the road. It points the way for us to go. Next, he says, there's no other way but this. That bedrock of our belief is under fire today. For some are saying that we must not be so dogmatic. Even though Jesus said, I am the way and not a way. It was Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us that made possible that we could have life and have it more abundantly and eternal life as well. The writer of the hymn continued by saying, I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. That points out now how crucial the cross is to our Christian faith and why we must not allow it to be shoved aside or de-emphasized in any way. Finally, the hymn writer says, it is sweet to know, as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. We will find as we journey through this Christian life that we are given much assurance about our ultimate destination. When we go the way of the cross, when we see the cross before us and we realize what happened there and we realize what God did there and we realize what God provided there through His Son Jesus, then it should cause us to realize how important it is to go in the way of the cross. Today I want to talk more about the cross itself, and in the weeks to come I will try to explain what it means for us to go in the way of the cross. As you know, the cross is one of the most recognizable symbols of the Christian faith. It is openly displayed in church buildings, except for those who are embarrassed by it, and people wear the cross around their necks or place it on their clothing somewhere. Now, granted, some of those people who do that don't have the foggiest notion about what the cross stands for. Because for some, it's just pretty jewelry. Years ago, there was an emphasis on carrying a cross in a person's pocket. You ever remember that? You ever see that? I had such a cross. And I believe on the cross itself was printed the words, God loves you. People carried it around. I had one of those and I carried it around for some time, but I finally misplaced it. Carol still has hers. And it tells us a lot about the cross in my pocket. There's a little poem that went along with it, and part of that poem goes like this. I carry a cross in my pocket, a simple reminder to me of the fact that I am a Christian, no matter where I may be. Now, I know we shouldn't have to have reminders, but sometimes it's good for us to be reminded that we are Christians, and that means that we should be different in a good way. Different from the world, at least. The cross was not, as I go on with the poem, it says, I carry this cross. The fact that I am a Christian, no matter where I may be, this little cross is not magic, nor is it a good luck charm. It's not meant to protect me from every physical harm. It is not for identification for all the world to see. It's simply an understanding between my Savior and me. When I put my hand in my pocket, bring out the crosses or a key, a coin or a key, the cross is there to remind me of the price that Jesus paid for me. The poem goes on and ends up like this. So I carry a cross in my pocket, reminding me, no one but me, that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, if only I will let Him be. The cross is a symbol. And it reminds us of how much God loves us and the extent to which He was willing to go to save us, to redeem us, and to give us life. Someone asked one time, how can we measure the love of God? How great is the love of God? Well, look at the cross, and you will see there the greatness of the love of God and the immensity of it all. As you probably know, the cross was a cruel instrument of punishment and death that was used against criminals and those who stirred up trouble or rebellion. The Romans crucified many people who were judged guilty of various crimes. It was said that the road to Rome was lined with crosses, and people were there dying, suffering along that road. Many people were suffering, and many people died by the hands of the Romans. It was a way, not humane way, to visit justice on those who were condemned to die. The cross meant to set an example for people who might even think about doing something wrong, or who might be thinking about stirring up trouble in some way or causing a rebellion. Down through the ages, there have been many different forms of torture and punishment devised, but none, my friends, were more horrible than the cross. We can understand why Jesus did not look forward to going to the cross, to suffering and dying on that cross. The cross, as he prayed the night before the crucifixion, and he asked Heavenly Father, "Father, if it be possible, if there's any other way to do this, then let this cup pass from me." But he also went on to say, "Yet not my will, but thine be done." The suffering that Jesus endured on the cross is beyond our understanding. We can't even begin to know what happened there, what he suffered there for us. For in that moment, when Jesus was crucified, all the sins of the world, past, present, future, were in that moment when Jesus cried out, were heaped upon him. And it was not only the physical pain and the suffering that Jesus endured on the cross, but the spiritual pain. When he and his Father were separated for the first time. Because God is holy, he cannot look on sin. And when his Son took upon himself the sin of the world, he could not look upon his Son. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant the plan of salvation was complete. Through his atoning sacrifice, Jesus opened the door to life that is abundant and eternal, so that whosoever will may come and partake of life. Perhaps that's the reason why Paul talked about boasting in the cross. We don't often think about that, do we? We don't think about bragging about the cross or boasting about the cross. But it is something for Christians not to be embarrassed about, but something that we should be grateful for, and we need to continue to emphasize the importance of it, no matter what others may say. Even though Jesus did not want to have to endure the cross, he willingly went there. And Jesus had in his own mind an understanding that this was not the end, that the cross was not the end, that it was only the beginning. For Jesus there was not defeated, but he won the victory. He won the victory over the death. He won victory over the suffering and all the pain. And he won the victory over sin, so that we might not have to be burdened down by sin in our lives anymore. And he won the victory over the devil, who thought that he was conquering Jesus, but realized later, I believe, that Jesus won the victory for us. So we come together this morning to remember the cross, to think about the cross, and along with Paul, to boast or to glory in the cross. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." It is our responsibility, my friends, to lift him up, to not let the world forget that Jesus came as their Savior, and that he would save them all if they were willing to receive what he offers to them. Jesus was talking about the cross and the importance of highlighting all that he accomplished, all that he was able to do for us. Now, in the weeks to come, I'll be talking about the way of the cross, the Lord willing. We'll look together at what makes up the way of the cross and what it means for us today. As we sing our closing hymn today, let's be mindful of the fact that the way of the cross leads home. And let's be thankful that Jesus was willing to go that way for us. Let's pray together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the cross. We thank you for what happened there, for what you did there, for what Jesus completed there, and what he provides through the cross. Father, as we think about the cross today and in the days and the weeks to come, help us to realize, Father, that the way of the cross is the right way for us to go, and the way of the cross will ultimately lead us home to you. Thank you, Father, for providing it for us. In Jesus' name, amen.